You have your copy of God's Word, if you please turn there, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 21 tonight on a message I've titled, The Desensitizing of America. The Desensitizing of America. Ephesians chapter 5. You can just remain seated tonight. I'm going to read all these verses and then get right into the message. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, well, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Help me now, Lord, as I try to preach on this. Give me an unction tonight, Lord. I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I remember back in the 1970s, that was probably the years I remember the most growing up in. I don't remember anything about the 60s. I was too young. I was born in 66. But the 70s was the years I remember the most. And I can remember a particular time I was at my best friend's house, Kevin Roberts, Frank's son. I was at Frank's house. And me and Kevin were watching the television. I don't remember what even was on. But I do remember a commercial came on that day. And it started out with the camera at somebody's feet. And there was a man talking. The announcer was talking on there. And he was talking about ladies. And he started panning up this set of legs, going up these set of legs. And I remember that Frank jumps up and runs toward the TV and he says, turn that garbage off and turn the TV off. I didn't know what the thing was about. I do know me and Kevin both were sitting there, you know, like this with our eyes wide open. And I'm sure Frank didn't know exactly what all that commercial was about either, but he understood it to be something we didn't need to see. Well, it turns out years later, I found out what that commercial was. It was actually the Jets quarterback, Joe Namath, which was my favorite quarterback at the time. Joe Namath was doing this commercial for pantyhose. It was a Beauty Mist pantyhose. And it was his legs in the commercial that this camera was going up. But the way they did it on that commercial made it appear that it was a woman there on that commercial. And back in the 70s, that was scandalous. I mean, that was something that you just did not see. And I thank the Lord that Frank, he had enough about him to understand that little boys didn't need to see something like that. And by today's standards, that, of course, is rather tame, do we think. Back in the 1970s, though, that was pretty bold. That was scandalous. In fact, that same in the 70s, Joe Namath did another commercial with Farrah Fawcett. And that commercial was actually banned from being played on the airwaves because it was too provocative. And it was about shaving cream. And she was putting shaving cream on his face and stuff. You can watch these on YouTube now. And they seem, you know, tame today because we've been conditioned to to this kind of thing. We've been desensitized. And that's the subject tonight I'm looking at. The desensitizing of America. It's actually the desensitizing of the whole world. And, you know, they have that old saying, we've came a long way, baby. Hey, we've came a long way, and it's not nothing good about it at all. But that was then, and this is now. Here in our opening text, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to members of the Church of Ephesus. And he is laying out instructions for the proper way for a Christian to conduct his life. Now that they've been saved, they're no longer like they once were. They're no longer to remain in darkness. He said, sometimes you were in darkness, but not now. Now you're in light. You're to walk as children of the light. And he keeps stressing that point about the light. Now we know that God sent Jesus here into the world, this world of darkness. He sent the light here. And because the man is wicked and he loves the darkness and he rejects the light. And so Paul keeps stressing the importance of leaving their old sinful ways, their old sinful desires, the things that the old creature clung to, and now look to the things the new creature would cling to, which are the ways of Christ. And he mentions the will of the Lord in there. He mentions the things of the light. And he said in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light in the world. Walk as children of light. This week, as I was studying and praying and meditating on the message the Lord would have me give tonight, and I assumed it would be about false prophets or religions again, but it wasn't. He just would not direct my thoughts there. Every time I picked up the Word of God, it was just, I kept getting directed into these kind of texts. And my mind kept going on to that one subject, the desensitizing of America, the desensitizing. If that word we use, desensitize, a good definition of it is this: to make a person emotionally insensitive or unresponsive as by long exposure or repeated shock. We look at certain things today that's prevalent in our world, such as cruelty and violence, suffering, vulgarity, sexual conduct, deviant behavior, forbidden things. And all these things that I've just read off are things that we have now come conditioned to accept. We have become to where we are desensitized to it. Now, you probably remember the first time that you heard a curse word on television. I certainly remember one of the first times that I heard them. And it was just like you could not believe you heard something like that coming out of that box in your own living room. It was just unreal and unheard of, and it shocked us. You'll remember the first time you saw something of the sexual nature displayed on television, and it shocked you. You just couldn't believe it. Or the first movie you went to where there was something that you knew that was sinful and wrong, and it came before your eyes, and immediately you were shocked. Well, as time progressed on, we keep getting these images put in front of our face all the time, and we get to where it's no longer shocking to us. We've been desensitized. And listen, we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and see where it first began. The first man and woman were made perfect. God created man and woman. He created them after his own image. They were perfect people. And then we know what happened. Satan came along. All the way starting in Genesis 2 and 25, you'll read that Adam and Eve, before sin entered into the world, the Bible said this. It says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They didn't even know they were naked. There was nothing shameful about it. And only seven verses later, in Genesis chapter 3, we read this about them. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In seven verses, all this happened. Well, of course, we know what happened that short amount of time. Satan came into the garden, that old serpent. And he beguiled Eve, and Eve partook of the fruit. And then Adam came and willingly took of the fruit and sinned against God. The sin came through Adam, by the way. Eve was the one that was beguiled. She was fooled into doing it. Adam was not fooled. Adam gave in to the temptation. He freely and willingly rebelled against God's word and took of that fruit. And that is where sin began in men and women. Well, ever since then, it's all went downhill fast. Over the last 6,000 years, we've seen it just progress to where we've been desensitized. I want to read you something. This is back in 1965, the year before I was born, 53 years ago. Paul Harvey on his radio broadcast. We all love Paul Harvey. He's so smart. I believe he was a modern day prophet. Paul Harvey had a commentary that he gave, and it was called "If I Were the Devil." Let me read you this. 1965. He said, "If I were the Prince of Darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I would set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first, and I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, 'Do as you please.' To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way around. I'd confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, 'Our Father, which art in Washington.' Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect, but neglect the disciplined emotions. I'd tell teachers to let those students run wild. And before you knew it, you'd have a drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon I would evict God from the courthouse and the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I'd lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who had and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. Well, you bet I couldn't get the whole state to promote gambling in the way to get rich. I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on television is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there are no cures. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing." Friends, that was 53 years ago. And it could read just like it's happening today. Everything that he said, Paul Harvey was right on the money. Listen, the Bible says this over in Ephesians 6 and 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the desensitizing of America is not by accident. It's on purpose. It's a concerted effort of the devil. And he has orchestrated the whole entire thing, the devil himself. We get most of what we know about the devil from the Bible, and usually from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. He tells us more about Satan than anybody else in the whole book. In fact, I'll tell you a few places that Jesus mentions him and where we learn about the ways of Satan. Over in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus tells us this. He says, he's talking to the Pharisees, but we learn from what he tells them. He says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Right there, right away, Jesus told us some very important things about the devil. He said he's a murderer, he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. The father of something is the originator of it. So lies originated from Satan, the devil himself. Jesus tells us this about the devil. He's talking to Peter. He says in Luke 22 and 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." See, any time that you're trying to live for the Lord, Satan desires to have you. He desires to have everything that you got. He wants to sift you. He wants to try you. We learn from Jesus what He told Paul when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. We learn something about the devil, that he's very powerful. Listen to what Jesus said to Paul. It says in Acts 26 and 17, "Delivering me from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." See what Jesus was telling Paul. He says, "I've saved you, and now that I've saved you, I've set you apart to go preach unto people so that you can get them out of the powers that the devil has and turn them to God so they can be saved." Paul tells us that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. He says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He's not this little red character that Hollywood has made up with the little pointed ears and the tail and the pitchfork. He's not that at all. He is something lovely to look at. Satan is an angel. He transforms into an angel of light so that you will be attracted to the things that he has to offer. And of course, Peter, of all people, he's able to tell us firsthand about the devil. He says this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And so we find all these things the Bible teaches us about the devil, Satan. He's got many names the Bible uses about him. But we are told point blank what all he does. You would think after all this time that man would have learned the ways of the devil and knew that it was him when they were getting tempted. Since we know all these things, we should be able to spot his work when we see it. However, he's very crafty. He's learned how to hone his skills. He's been at it for 6,000 years. And he's just going to keep right on going. Some of the greatest inventions known to modern man, the devil has used in a mighty way. And he's been able to desensitize us, especially Americans, by using these things that we have, these inventions that we have. The radio, television, movies, internet, smartphones. All of these are devices that every single American today uses. Almost every single American. I can't say everybody has all these things, but most do. Over 95% of Americans today have a mobile phone. And 77% of those are smartphones with internet access. That's here in America. That's a lot, friends. And that has almost doubled over the last 10 years. And so we see how everybody now has one in their hand. I still remember the preachers of old preaching against television. I remember Brother Lester Roloff standing up and preaching about the wickedness of TV. He said TV has de-brained America. He said that TV has made smart men to quit thinking. It's made preachers to quit preaching. It's made Christians to quit praying. It's stopped revivals across America. And he said it's the enemy of all righteousness. Well, people laughed Brother Roloff to scorn. They thought he was out of his mind. He was crazy for preaching against TVs. And I'll bet some of those families that were torn apart after that idiot box got put in their home and their children got mesmerized by it and all their attention always went to that box, I bet you some of them would have something else to say about it now. Brother Roloff passed away in 1982 in a plane accident. Ever since then, internet has picked up. Brother Roloff wasn't here during the internet craze when it began. I remember when it began. I remember getting that first computer that cost about $2,000 and putting it, we had to put it in the layaway and pay on it until we got it. I mean, we were paying on that thing so we could get this huge monitor that was, you know, about this big. And the computer itself was this big, you know. And I remember when that craze happened and it's just kept going and going. Now we can get on something as small as our phone right here, we can get a full operating system that once huge computers that filled rooms did. Now we can do it on this little thing. Our kiosk back there has a full version of Windows 10 running on a little USB stick this big, and it runs the entire operating system on it. And so it's amazing the technology that we have, but because of this technology, Satan is able to use these devices, and since everybody has them at their disposal, now we've been desensitized to all the things that comes through them. Like I said, 95% of Americans have a mobile phone that they carry with them. At any moment of the day, Most children, most teenagers have access to the wickedness of the world right in the palm of their hands. At any minute, at the touch of a button, they can go and see all the wickedness that happens in this world, the evil, the sinful things, and they can set the wicked things in front of their eyes. The Bible says this over in Psalms 101, verses 2 through 4. It says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. The psalmist understood the need to avoid any type of wickedness. Anybody that walked in darkness, he says, in my own house I'll have a perfect heart. In other words, I'm not going to allow filth to come over my television set. I'm not going to allow nudity and cursing and the sodomites and all that to come across into my own living room. You know, we're allowing things in our own living room you would never have dreamed you would let in there. 10 years ago, would you have dreamed if somebody came to you and said, would you let a sodomite come in and do something in your living room? Well, certainly not. But you do it when you turn that TV on and they're on there. Would you allow somebody to come in your home and rattle off a bunch of curse words and cussing and things like that? Would you allow somebody to come in your home and take their clothes off in front of your children? Oh, no, no, I'd never do that. But when it's on that television set, that's exactly what's going on. So we're allowing it in our homes. It's wickedness. We're putting wicked things before our eyes. TVs, movies, books, the internet, wickedness everywhere. And since we're bombarded by this daily, we're being desensitized to it. Young people growing up today are desensitized to these things. It's common for them to see wickedness like that. It's nothing to them. It's nothing now to go to downtown Knoxville and see the gay couples walking hand in hand or kissing over in the corners. Just right out in the open public. It's nothing now. It's common. And our young people are growing up and they're seeing that. And to them, that's just normal. Well, we know that that's not normal. Martin Luther said this. He said, whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. And that's the truth when it comes to all these things that desensitize us. You know, the thing about the gays, and everybody says, you know, those preachers, they get up there and they start and they want to pick on the gays, the sodomites and all that. And they want to focus on that instead of other sins. Listen, the Bible focuses upon that sin a lot. It's the wickedness of sexual perversion. And God says it's an abomination. And so therefore we must speak about it. But what the gay agenda wants to do is they want to make what they do the norm. They want to make it where society accepts it. Their perversion is just mainstream. And they're doing it. They are doing it. It's not uncommon to see all this nowadays. Characters on TV programs. There's hardly a television show comes on now that doesn't have some kind of gay character on it. And everybody loves them. They're the smartest people in the room on those programs. And people that are against them now look to be very stupid. They portray straight, white Christians as very stupid people now. But the gays, the homosexuals, the sodomites, the lesbians, the transgenders, they are the smartest people now. And so when they do this, they are desensitizing us. They're making us used to it, making it mainstream to where it doesn't bother us anymore. Our young people, like I said, they grow up thinking it's normal. And listen, the world will try to make you think it's normal. But it is not normal. It's abnormal. It's grossly abnormal. It's ungodly, it's hellish, and it's sinful. There was a Christian lady. I was speaking out against homosexuality, and she told me, she said, my daughter has a best friend that's gay, and she's a good person, and you ought not to be talking about him like that. She's a good person with a good heart. And she got mad at me because I was speaking out against homosexuality from the Bible. I was using the Bible as my text. And she got upset and said that we needed to stop talking about the gays. They were just like we are. Well, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news. But has anybody here heard of Revoice? Anybody? Revoice? When you get home tonight or tomorrow in your free time, Google Revoice. Revoice is a conference that just happened just a few days ago. It was July 26th and 28th in St. Louis, Missouri. Revoice is it was actually endorsed by the Southern Baptist Convention. It's actually from the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America, are the originators of it. However, they have keynote speakers in their conferences, and most of them are from the Southern Baptist Association Convention. And it has been endorsed by them. Now, Albert Mohler over the convention now, he does not agree with it, but many of their keynote speakers do. Now, in case you've not heard of it, let me tell you what it's all about. And you can see this on their own website, revoice.us, which I could not pull up at work because it said it was unsafe for work. Revoice Conference 2018 is supporting, encouraging, and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT Christians, so they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. They gather together with other gender and sexual minorities and those who love them and experience a new kind of gospel community. They listen to, learn from, and participate in conversations with speakers who bring a nuanced perspective to the table of discussion. They benefit from curated presentations on a wide variety of topics related to LGBT experience and the historic Christian sexual ethic. Now, there are several people today that are speaking out against this, but the people that are behind all this, they're putting examples, they're saying from the Bible, the example of Jesus and John the Apostle is one example of a sexual relationship between men. They're saying the example of Ruth and Naomi is a female example of a sexual relationship between women in the Bible. And so they're using the Bible to try to back up their claims that LGBT plus, they got a plus on it, is biblical. Listen to some of the workshops that these people are going through. Making church a haven for sexual minorities. Redeeming queer culture and adventure. Journey to Embrace, a conversation on empowering the church to embrace the LGBT plus community in fresh ways. Rekindling hope as a sexual minority in the church. Mixed orientation marriages that work, a panel discussion. Coming out in the shadow of the cross, queer visibility as redemptive suffering. These are the workshops that's going on at this Revoice conference. And they're claiming this to be Christian, that this is godly things. Hearing about all this makes me think I'm living on some alternative planet. It's like backwards planet now. It's like everything that once was good is now bad, and everything that was bad is good. I feel like one of these days I'm going to have to wake up and it'll all be set back to right. But the truth is, we've got to stand on what God's Word says, not what some person says, some popular preacher. And they've got some big name preachers in that conference, people that's come up in the association. They went through the association seminary. A lot of them are big time speakers. And they are backing this. God's Word says this in verse 11 of our text. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so for these bleeding heart Christians that go around saying, oh, you don't need to talk about the homosexuals and the gays. You're going to hurt their feelings and that's driving them away. But the Bible says that we are to reprove them. That we're not to even speak of those things that are done in secret. If sinful things no longer shock you, if they no longer upset you, if you no longer hate the things that God hates, I want you to know you are being desensitized, and the next step after that is being apostatized. That's the route that you go. Why has the church lost its power today? Why can you fill up a bar room more than you can a church house? Why can you fill up a country music concert just like that, but you can hardly get anybody to come to the house of God? You know why the church has lost its power? The people in the church have lost their power. They've lost their power. They're carnal. They're wicked. They're filled with things of the world. They're allowing all this garbage into their lives and their hearts. And listen, the Bible says not to set a wicked thing in front of our eyes. We can't set wicked things in front of our eyes and still be right with God. The Bible is very clear on it. Over in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God's word is always true, despite what somebody else may say. It's always true. We must stand firm on it. And so the question is, what do we do about it? Well, Brother Byron, you presented your case. Now, what do we do about it? How can we get resensitized and be pleasing to God? Do we go out and buy the latest self-help book? What about Joel Osteen's book, Our Best Life Now? Maybe that's the answer. What about Oprah or Dr. Phil? Maybe they can help us. Maybe we could Google it or go on Twitter and tweet about it or on Facebook and ask one of our Facebook friends how we can resensitize ourselves. Listen, none of that stuff is what we need to do. Sadly, that's the way the world does. What's the answer for the questions? What's the answer for everything we need? The Word of God. Back in our opening text, if you want to look at it again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, let me read you 15 commands that's given in those verses, and we're finished. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1. As you go down through there, you'll see 15 things the Bible says that we are to do. These are commands. They're not suggestions. They're not alternatives. They're not maybes, but these are commands. The Bible says there, in down through those verses, one is be followers of God. Two, walk in love. Three, allow no fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. Four, allow no filthiness, foolish talking, or jesting. Five, give thanks. Six, let no one deceive you. Seven, walk as children of light. Eight, have no fellowship with darkness. Nine, reprove those that are in darkness. Reprove means to tell about, convince, and convict. That's what that means. 10, walk circumspectly and not as fools. 11, redeem the time. 12, understand the will of the Lord. 13, speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. 14, give thanks for all things. And finally, 15, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. If we can follow these 15 commandments given in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll find that we can get this sensitivity back. No longer desensitized, but sensitive again. I was here recently as I've been studying on this and meditating on it. The Lord has revealed to me many things that I need to focus on in my life and make sure it's not in my life. And so I'm making a concerted effort in my life to avoid anything that could be deemed wicked, anything that might be evil or something that somebody may think is wrong, or certainly the Lord. That's what we're concerned with. But listen, we need to avoid these things, not set anything wicked in front of us. If you've got a television in your home, the next time that garbage comes on, click it off, turn it off. If something wicked comes on there, bad language, nudity, whatever it is, turn the thing off. Don't watch that. Turn another channel. Watch something good if you're going to watch TV. If you're on the internet and you're browsing the internet and something comes up, don't go looking at it and seeing what it is and searching on it and things like that. It's wicked. It's evil. We need to use these things that we have today for good things. That's one reason I got off of Facebook, because Facebook is just, people are just, they're ruining their lives on there, telling everything, and there's people fighting. I know so many people that it's gotten so much problems in their lives because of what's on that thing. And so I've took my personal account off there. I don't talk to people on there any longer. And I'm not on that. The church still has one where we can upload our sermons and share them and things. But there's so much today that's out there that is destroying lives. Young people today are so caught up into it. The Instagram, they're now sending their naked pictures to each other. There's a thing called sexting where they send dirty things to each other over text. And listen, friends, these things like this, we cannot please God. And we can't be right with Him and have this in our lives. And so I pray that each one of us tonight understands that this nation is desensitized to all the wickedness, and Satan is in it. I'm not saying give him credit. You know, he did something good, but we've got to give credit where credit's due. Satan has done his job, and we failed at ours. He's done his job very well, and he's got this country in the messes that it's in. It's up to us, the Christians, the church, to turn these things around. That's the only hope we have until the Lord comes. One of these days, the Lord's going to come. He's going to take us out of here.
We won't have all this filth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, it's a sobering message. Lord, one that we all need to abide by. Lord, and when we read your word, you tell us the truth from it. God, just point blank, God, and we ignore it. God, we go through this life and it seems like we don't care. Lord, we've let this country go down like it has. Lord, all the things that's happening in this world, God, and I blame us, God. Lord, we need to repent of this. God, turn to you. Lord, get our lives on the right track. God, see the church grow. Lord, see a church have power behind it again. Lord, see differences in our lives and the community. And Lord, we just want to praise you for it, God. You're the only one that can help us with it, Lord, but we've got to put forth the effort. Lord, I pray for that person that's listening to this over some means like sermon audio or YouTube. And God, if they're part, if it's convicted, God, that they'll repent, God, and turn to you and turn from their wicked ways. Help us, Father. We love you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And amen.